All right. Welcome to Pastor's Chat. I am Pastor Ryder from New Life Medford, and I just want to talk to you a little bit about some things that I've been thinking about. And I'm enjoying the time that we have together. The plan is to do this weekly, so I hope that I can keep up with that. Sometimes the schedule gets a little hairy, but I had asked, I believe a week or two ago, if there were some questions or some topics that you may want me to cover or talk about, you know, to kind of email those, send those to me, comment on those. And there are a few things that you've sent to me. And so I want to answer one of the questions that was sent to me and talk about it a little bit this afternoon. One of the questions that was sent to me was, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 11. And Paul is writing to the Corinthian church here, and he has some very strongly worded statements in this chapter. And if you read the context of this chapter, you'll see that Paul was dealing with a lot of things within the Corinthian church. He was trying to fix some problems, if you will, that was happening within the Corinthian church. So there's a lot of things that he was addressing. He addressed division in the church. He addressed sexual immorality. He addressed how to deal with lawsuits between brothers and sisters. He addressed, you know, my responsibility versus my freedom, convictions, things like that, liberty. He addressed marriage and how to live with an unbelieving spouse. And that's just the things that are right around this scripture, chapter. He talked about the unmarried and the widowed. How are they supposed to live their life? Food that was offered to idols, principles of Christian freedom. There's a lot of things in the context around what Paul was addressing here in this question that comes out. And so it bears some scrutiny here. So let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 reads, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an adulterer, idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one not to eat." And the question was Paul telling us to excommunicate people that are living in sin? And I think when you read this for face value, I can see where you may question what Paul's motives were here in dealing with this Corinthian church. Like I said, there was a lot of sin that was happening within the church. And Paul was trying to deal with the sin and the unrighteousness within the church. And so he was addressing some of those things. And this particular chapter deals with sexual immorality, fornication, things that were going on within the church. Believe it or not, I have seen situations, churches, groups of people, communities, where there has been some ungodly things happening in secret, that between people, relationships, etc. And Paul was talking about, what do you do when that's happening within the body? How do you handle that? How do you deal with that? And again, I think it's very important, anything we look at in Scripture is to get a bird's eye view of the context of what the author is intending. What was he talking about? Who was he writing to? What was the audience? What was happening to the audience? What was going on in their lives at the time? All of those things matter when you're considering context. So I think it's very important for you to get an understanding. That's why rightly dividing the Word of God is so vital. That's why we can't just pick and choose scriptures and build doctrines on them. We have to find the whole, we have to look at the whole counsel of God's Word. We have to look at the balance of everything. We have to look at the context of everything. We can go through Scripture and pull out verses and say, man, this is good. I'm gonna chop someone's knees off with this, or I'm gonna get somebody with this, and we're gonna build a doctrine on this. This is my new soapbox, you know. I got scripture for it. But in actuality, if you're taking scripture out of context and you're building a doctrine or whatever on these one scriptures that you pull out, and you don't really know what's going on at the time that was written, you can do a lot of damage to people because there's a lot of misunderstanding there. The one thing I can tell you, it is vital that we understand the context. We understand the audience. We understand what was going on, what was happening at the time, in order to draw conclusions. That's why, having Bible studies and taking these scriptures and studying them and understanding exactly what they're saying, it's so vital and so important. So was Paul instructing us to excommunicate people that are living in sin? What was he telling us? You know, you can't eat with people that fornicate, you know, and I'll just stop right here and tell you, if that's the case, we can't eat with anybody. You know, there's a lot of people that are living in sin. Sin is rampant in our world, and it's an epidemic. You know, society accepts things that society never accepted before, and things that are normal now. You know, when I was growing up, and I'm approaching 50 years old, you know, when I was a child, things that are normal now were very taboo. When I was a child, when I was in school, there are things that you wouldn't talk about. You know, you wouldn't even, I grew up in an era, believe it or not, where you wouldn't even say that a woman was pregnant. Using the word pregnant was considered irreverent to people. And so you would be careful how you package that. Now the world we live in, that anything goes. There's no filters, you know? So we got to understand the world we're living in is a world of sin. It's a fallen world, and there are people who are living in sin. And if Paul was telling us, you excommunicate everybody living in sin, don't let anybody in your church that is living in sin, then there would be nobody coming in the doors of this church. And so I can tell you unequivocally, that's not what Paul was trying to do. Paul was dealing with some situations that was happening in the church, in that particular church. A couple of years ago, I sat on a judicial committee for our organization for some misconduct that was done by another minister. And we had to deal with some situations. And one of the common themes that came up in these meetings were the need for safe church and culture that is not toxic, and environments and a community that is healthy. And sometimes, you know, in times past, we've brushed some things under the rug because we don't want to upset the apple cart, if you will. We don't want to talk about what's really in the room. And so there, sometimes churches have created cultures that were toxic or unhealthy. And I think that's what was happening here in this instance in the Corinthian church. There was some toxic things happening, and Paul was having to deal with those things. You also have to understand that this was a letter and information and instruction written to established believers. These were not new converts or new believers. These were established people. As a matter of fact, again, read the context. If you go back and you read, you'll talk about, Paul will talk about it. I've already told you this. I've already taught you this. I've already established you in this. So he was coming back with correction to people who had already been established in the church, in the Corinthian church. And so I think that's very important to understand in this context, not dealing with novice, new people who were trying to establish, but he was dealing with saints that should know better, that were involved in doing things that they should know better than doing. And so he was very explicitly addressing those issues and trying to clean up some of the sin and the immorality that was happening within the body. These are saints that are filled with the Spirit, that should be living a holy life. You know, most people think, oh, I thought you went to church. If you've ever heard that, that phrase, I thought you were Pentecostal. I thought you didn't do that or you didn't wear that. You know, people are very easy to judge who we are and what we're supposed to do, even though they may not be doing what they're supposed to do. People know the life that we're supposed to live. People know that if we profess to be Holy Ghost filled, that we live above sin, or we should, that we shouldn't be a gossip, that we shouldn't tear one another down, that we shouldn't lie, we shouldn't cheat, steal. There's just things that are known that a Christian does or doesn't do, that a Christian wears or doesn't wear, or we don't go there, we don't do that, we don't associate with that. So I think what we need to understand, and we've been preaching a lot about this lately, if you want to know the truth. If you've been listening, you know, Brother Cameron's been hitting on it, I've been hitting on it, the value of righteousness and living holy. Folks, the what we teach as separation from the world, it matters. It's very important. We teach things, you know, like holiness of dress. That's very important. We teach things like we don't go to certain environments that are unhealthy for us or maybe a stumbling block for us. Those are very important to have in your life. I remove out of my life those things that will pull me down. You know, if I've been delivered from alcohol and I've got a problem with alcohol and a weakness there, then I don't need to be around people who are drinking, because I may pick up an alcoholic drink and drink again and fall back into something that God delivered me from. Or if I've had a problem with drugs, you know, marijuana, pot, whatever, you know, pills, I don't know. If I've had a problem with that, or God's delivered me from that, then for me to go and have company with those who continue to do those things will only pull me back into what God delivered me from. And so when we talk about holiness and separation, we talk about, you know, living righteous, those things are boundaries of protection for us. It's not to say, hey, look how holy you are. Look how perfect you are. That's not the reason for the rules. The reason for those things are their guardrails, their protections, their fences, their guidelines, their boundaries that encircle us. And they keep the bad things out and the good things in. And so they're vital and they're important for us to have those boundaries in our life. And that's why we constantly teach on godliness and righteousness. That's why we teach that, you know, marriage should be between one man and one woman. You know, that's why we teach and we hammer those things, that you should not live in fornication. If you're not married, you shouldn't be having sexual relationship with anybody out of the covenant of marriage. We teach that because that's a principle of righteousness. It's a boundary that protects you, that protects me. We teach that we abstain from alcoholic drinks and cigarettes and all of those things. Those things are harmful to me. They're harmful to my temple. You know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You know, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's see, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? The Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Ghost dwells in you, and your body is the temple. Your body, this flesh, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. You belong to Him. You're bought with a price. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that's what Paul was talking about here. He was trying to say, hey, folks, we don't live like that. We don't do that. We don't go there. We don't dress that way. We don't partake of those things, because those are boundaries that we have put as protection in our life, because you are not your own. Your body is not yours. Your spirit is not yours. It belongs to God. You've given yourself to God. Therefore, He resides there, and your body is His temple, His dwelling place. So He wants His temple to be holy and righteous. So there are things and boundaries and fences and lines we don't cross. Not because we're trying to make life hard and we're trying to say, man, how hard we can preach to people. But we preach these things and we teach these things because they are protections for us. And that's what Paul was dealing with. There was immorality within the body, within the saints, within the people who should know better. And they were doing secret things that they knew better than doing. They were living immoral lives behind closed doors. Nobody was looking. They thought nobody knew, but Paul knew because the Spirit revealed it to him. And he was trying to clean up the body of Christ. And so that's what Paul was addressing here. Again, when you take the context, you take the Word of God, the whole counsel of God's Word, we understand that Paul was addressing some issues that was going on within the local church, within the local body, the Corinthian church. He was not saying, you know, we're going to excommunicate people and you can't attend here. You can't be a part of this body because you've got sin in your life. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, hey, saints of God, you know better than living that way. You know better than going there. You know better than doing that and partaking in those things. The boundaries we have in our life are there for a reason, and they are there for our protection. And so I think we have to use the balance of God's Word and use the whole counsel of God's Word. Because His Word is truth, and it keeps us. And I'm so thankful for His Word. So I encourage you, take the Word of God, read it, ingest it, let it become a part of you. Live by its principles. Don't despise its principles. Understand that every principle in Scripture is written there for your protection. And so that you would become a more perfect, not perfect in the sense we think perfect, but perfect in the sense of mature Christian. That you would become a more mature Christian. That you would walk closer to God. And that somebody in the world could look at us and go, hey, you're one of them. You're one of them. I can tell there's something different about you because of the way you live. There have been people who have asked me, you know, is it wrong for me to wear a cross? Doesn't that identify me? I'm gonna wear a necklace that has a cross on it. Doesn't that identify me with Christ? No. 1,000 times no. That doesn't identify you with Christ. Your lifestyle identifies you with Christ. How are you living? How are you talking? Where are you going? What are you partaking of? That identifies you with Christ. The life you live, the conversation you have, what's in the heart. Those things identify you as part of being part of the bride of Christ. So I don't want to despise the separation, the boundaries in my life. I'm not going to excommunicate people that are not doing right. I'm going to love them, try to love them into truth, especially if they're new and they're not completely established. And if it's saints that need correction, that's what I'm here for. And I'll offer that correction with love. I'd never come to hurt anybody, but I would definitely offer correction with love to try to pull that saint back into the fold so they can correct those things. So again, it's all about balance. It's all about context. It's all about understanding the audience and understanding what was happening when the passage was being written. All right. I hope that gives a little light or sheds a little light on that scripture, 1 Corinthians 5:11, kind of give a little context and a little balance there. Because God's called us to be holy and righteous and to live a life that is pleasing to Him. All right. That's all I have for you this week, Pastor's Chat. I'm so glad you joined us. It's always a pleasure to spend the afternoon with you. If you have any questions, suggestions, things you want me to address or talk about, you can email them to me, text them to me, comment about them, and I will in future broadcasts address those things. So, God bless you. See you in church on Sunday.